We're going to be in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Joe, if I can ask you to put up slide 1, please. I just want to share with you a map. Now, a lot happened in the Apostle Paul's ministry. First missionary journey, second, third. Actually, I would say it's the fourth one is Paul's journey to Rome. I'm not sure if they consider that the third, but I would say that would be the fourth one. But one of the things that we're going to try to do is we're going to be led by God to discuss specific points of his journeys. And today we're going to look at the first part of his journey, first journey, and what happened. But I felt led by the Lord to go even before his first journey started. And so we're going to go in Acts chapter 9 because I want us to look at, we got to start somewhere, okay? We have to start somewhere, and with God, we all started, if those of us who are believers in Christ, it all happened right there at the cross. It all happened right there where we came to the Lord and we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We said some kind of a phrase to the Lord Jesus because that thief on the cross, the little few words that he told Jesus, Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." What that thief actually said was he called Jesus Lord, meaning my supreme authority, my ruler, my guide, my leader is what he actually said to Jesus. And that one word, he said, "Lord, remember me." And then Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So he didn't go off in this long ABC, you know, scriptures of how to get saved. But what he said to the Lord Jesus, he said it with his heart and all honesty. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So it happened and it started somewhere. And with Paul, we're going to read here in Acts chapter 9. You have to start on empty. You have to start on empty is my first point. You have to start where you empty yourself of what you think how you ought to live your life, of what you should do, of what you need to get, you know, taken care of first. You got to start on, you got to empty yourself. Say, "God, I need you." I'm not sure how many of you, you started at rock bottom and all you could do was look up. You were empty. You were stuck in your junk and your mess, and all you could do is, "I'm tired. I'm tired of running from you, God. I'm tired of living like this." And that testimony that Janine shared about that musician, I mean, that's where he was. He had nothing. He had nothing to give to God but himself. And God's like, "That's all I wanted. That's why I sent Jesus, because all I want is you. All I want is you." But we have to begin on empty. We start on empty. So let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Then Saul," please stand for the reading of the word. Thank you. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters, permission from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way." Now in your Bible, the way, or the word way should be capitalized. It's talking about the Christian lifestyle, the way. Jesus is the way. All right, so it's capitalized. It should be capitalized. If it's not, it's not wrong to go ahead and capitalize it yourself. All right. "Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." So he was looking for authority to be able to arrest men and women of the way and bring them, arrest them, bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It is hard for you to fight against God. It is hard for you to fight against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will continue to convict you, continue to bring scripture to your mind.'" And listen, I was a bonehead and I was fighting the Holy Spirit, and thank God that I lost and he came to rescue me. Verse 6, "So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless." So there are people with Paul there. Or with Saul there. And they were standing there speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. That would have been really far out there. "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw..." He couldn't see.
There was something covering his eyeballs. It says, because when he opened his eyes, he was able to see no one, but they led him by the hand. So he needed help and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would speak and reveal truth, your truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Slide two, please, Joe. You got to start on empty. Now, somehow, this doesn't make sense when you embark on a family trip. You know, one of the things that I've learned from Shannon is that her dad, whenever they'd go on a family trip, even if it was to Jacksonville, they'd stop at three different places. The church, the gas station, the post office, and maybe one other place was to go see a guy who sold cars. And so if you knew Pastor Dial, you knew that that was right in line with what he had to do. But how many of you would start on a road trip, a family road trip, on vacation, on empty? Does it make sense? With God, you never begin the same way that you do in the natural. You can't. Because with God, he doesn't deal in the natural things. He deals in the spiritual things. So that's why certain people can't understand why you have to give up all the things of what you used to do to follow Jesus Christ, because you got to begin on empty. You got to empty yourself. Empty your thoughts of what you think is right, your intellect of what is smart, because sometimes God would be like, that was so dumb. If you would have done it the way I told you to, that you would see my way. Of course, God's word clearly states that God's ways are much higher. Much better. They're better than our ways. They won't get us in trouble. And they'll always lead us on the right path. So God's plans and ways and his purposes are spiritual. They are not of this world. That's why when someone reads this book, it's the Bible. But when someone reads it like a regular book, I learned some of you are weird. You'll find a book and you go straight to the middle or you'll go to the end. And then you're like, well, the exciting thing is to read how it got to the end. To me, I'm like, that's dumb. If you read the end, I mean, why spend time? I mean, you already found out the butler did it. I mean, why even do it? You know, but when people look at a book, there's different ways. But you start from the beginning, and most people start from the beginning and they go. But when you read God's word, you can't read it like just a regular book. Because when you read it, you got to have the teacher. You got to have the relationship with the one who died for you. You got to have a relationship with the Father. And all of that begins when you're on empty and you're in front of the cross and you ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your life and you surrender your life to God. Now the teacher can come and teach you and reveal some things to you that God wants you to know, that God wants you to apply, that God wants you to live out. But the only way you're going to be able to understand the things of God is if you too become spiritual. And we being born again, not of flesh and blood, but we are born again of water and spirit. And so God wants us to begin with him on empty. And Paul, or Saul, he starts on empty. He can no longer see. He begins humbled, knocked down, blind. And now his life's plans, you know, his plans were to arrest people, bind them up and take them back to Jerusalem because they were of the Christian way. That was his plans. His plans thrown out the window. No more arresting people. Now he's in need of someone to pick him up, walk him to this place, and leave him there. They didn't even give him food because he couldn't eat. I mean, he couldn't eat or drink for 3 days. He was blinded for 3 days. God is leading me. Now, I wrote this in my notes last week, because this has been just been on my heart for the last 2 weeks. And maybe, just maybe, you came to God one day on false pretenses to appease someone, to appease another person, mom, dad, spouse. You need to choose life, eternal life. And Jesus is the only one that can provide that. And you got to begin on empty. Not begin your walk with Jesus Christ with what you know in life and how to live life. That's not going to mix well with what God says. I mean, even the people that were Jews that believed in God, Jesus came and said, hey, you heard that it said to do this, but I tell you to do this. It blew people's mind. What? I got to love my enemy? I got to pray for those that spitefully use me and speak. I got to find that knife that they stabbed in my back. And now I got to love them and pray for them. Blew their mind. They couldn't understand it. Why? Because it was a spiritual thing that was going on. It was going to the heart and the deeper things. So God is wanting me to say this. It's difficult. I don't know who you are. But if you came to God on false pretenses that your life's going to be A-OK and hunky-dory in the yellow brick road and you're not going to have to change, that's not right. You got to come to him on empty. Yeah. Empty of yourself, of your pride, of your intellect. Yes. Some people are like, how can I do that? Be saying, God, I don't know how to be a man. God, I don't know how to be a woman. God, I don't know how to be a mom. God, I don't know how to be a dad. I need to learn from you and start with what God says and apply that to your life. Today, God says, I call on you. Consider the consequences of your decisions. Choose life and eternal salvation, or choose to continue to live your life the way you want, which will result in death and eternal damnation of your soul. See how hard that is for me to say that? Because it's like, God, that's messed up. Who's going to come forward when I say that? Whether you come forward or whether you don't, consider what you've done and really ask, God, I didn't come to you on false pretense. I came to you empty. But God, show me if I did. Show me if I came to you on false pretense. Show me if I came to you just to appease or please somebody else. But God, I want to come to you on empty. I want to begin with you on empty. My life is yours. I give my life to you. I begin on empty. You see, that's what had to happen to Saul the hard way. Got knocked off his feet and fell to the ground. Now it continues in verse 10 of that same chapter. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he says, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. That's pretty cool. Saul's life was crooked. God led him to a street called Straight. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Before he was trying to find people to arrest and bind them and take them to Jerusalem. Now he's praying because he can't see and he hasn't been eating for 2-3 days now. And in a vision, Saul has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting... God had already revealed to Saul, hey, listen, I know you're freaked out right now. You can't see and you don't even know where you're at. But there's going to be a guy by the name of Ananias. He's going to come to you and he's going to tell you what you got to do. So in a vision, Saul saw a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias said, Lord, wait a minute, Lord. I've heard by many people that this man arrests people, arrests your saints and takes them to Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to arrest me. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. See, he didn't fight. He went. He went his way. He listened and he obeyed to God. Laying his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales from Saul's eyes. He received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. He receives his sight. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He receives the calling, which is God's mission for him to live a life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you read the rest of chapter 9, you'll notice that Paul didn't wait until he felt ready. Paul didn't wait until he felt compassion for people. Paul didn't wait until he felt confident in himself
That he knew enough of God's word that to actually go and do what God had called him to do. He didn't wait. He went. He went and found the disciples. And then as you continue to read on, he went to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ, what Jesus told him to do. He didn't wait until he had enough money. He didn't wait until he had the approval of the religious people. He didn't go back home and say, hey, guys, is it okay if I go do this? God went ahead and, you know, flipped my lid. I couldn't see for 3 days. I didn't eat and drink for 3 days. Is it all right? He didn't do that. He took ownership of the calling that God has on his life. And God wants you to take ownership of the calling that he has on your life. Amen. And if you don't know what your calling is, what calling? I don't know what the calling is. Spend some time with God. Lots of time with God. Get to know his voice. And say, God, I'm here. What is the calling on my life? Besides the fact that I'm a father, besides the fact that Shannon's a mother, God, give us a calling. What calling do you have? And hold on to it with a depth grip that nothing will separate you from that calling, because that's what God has called you to do. Saul came under the authority of the Holy Spirit and the leadership in Jerusalem, which the leadership was God-led. Start your mission. Start your life, your journey with God on empty. Here we find a bunch of pictures of missionaries. At one time, they started on empty. They said, God, forget about me. Forget about my life. Several of these people, if you'll notice, they have children. They left the United States to go to some place with their kids. They began their spiritual walk with God on empty. God has given them a mission. They've taken their families and held on to that calling, and they are walking and living in that calling that God has for them. This is truthful and needful for you to begin on empty, because you can't begin based on your ideas, your methods, or even your safety nets. We sometimes have those, right? We have a safety net. We okay, God, you want me to do this, but oh, let me make sure I get this squared away so that if I do that and I fall on my face, I got a safety net. God's like, that's not what I told you to do. That's not what I'm telling you to prepare. I'm telling you to trust in me for you to do what I'm telling you to do, regardless of what's back there. You guys have probably seen that. I'm not going to have you guys do it because I don't want anybody to get hurt. But, you know, one of those drills, those examples where someone puts their hands around them like this and then someone's behind them. And you got to trust the person behind you that they're going to catch you. And you just got to lean back and do that, right? No one's back there but the Lord. But you can't see the Lord. So if the Lord calls you to do something, you got to fall back and trust in him. No safety net. God will call you to where he wants you to go, to where he wants you to be. Today, you must come to the conclusion, if you haven't done so already, God will call you. So begin and prepare now, not later, to be willing to empty yourself. Do so now. Not when you feel it, not when you get right, not when you memorize the Bible. Begin now. When you are called, live to fulfill your calling. Obedience to God, obedience to Christ. Today you begin and he fills you. This is the interesting thing, because if we go back to slide 2, Joe, where it said start on empty, you walk with him. And as you start on empty and as you walk with him on this journey, he fills you with what you need. It's weird. Because our mind's thinking, how am I going to drive my car on empty? And while I'm driving, expect God to go ahead and just add the things that I need so that I can get to where I need to get to. And he does that spiritually. And he also does that physically. There have been times that, you know, early in our marriage, in youth ministry, that line was, I mean, I could have swore it was on that last line. Got him into the house and had to go pick up teenagers or had to go somewhere. And all of a sudden, you know, some of you could probably say, well, it's the temperature, the change of the temperature, you know, and the fumes or whatever. I'm calling it God. That needle went from where it was on that last line. It just started moving forward as I was driving. I was just praising the Lord at that time. Now, you could probably say, yeah, you you got something in your eye, Pastor Rick. That really didn't happen. It did happen. It did happen. I mean, he did that with a widow woman who made a cake, and all of a sudden after she made that cake for the prophet, she went ahead and had as much oil as she needed. God can do that.
So today, you can begin to walk in the calling that he has for you, and he will fill you with what you need as you go along in his calling. What we naturally like to do is, well, I got to get all my ducks in a row. I got to get all the things I have. You know, like when you go on a family trip, you got to have a cooler. You got to have your snacks. You got to have your goodie bags. You got to have your bottle of water. Why? So that while you're driving, you don't get off the road. Some of you, you know, well, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, so some of you go to the extreme to make sure you don't get off on the road. All right, but listen, God doesn't do that. You trust in him and he provides. One of those great phrases, he equips the called. He equips us. He calls us. He's going to equip us with what we need. But he doesn't do it on that day that we begin. As we begin and we walk with him, he just starts putting stuff in our buggy, so to speak, in our lives, and we need it as we go. My second point is you got to understand God's authority. Here's an interesting point. God's authority runs downstream. We are all responsible for God's calling on our lives, and it starts with God and it goes down. God has placed authority in everyone's life. Ephesians 6 talks about, kids, obey parents. Bond servants, obey masters. But everybody's got to obey God. There are students here at Hidden Treasures Assembly that have yet graduated high school, okay, but who have responsibilities in leadership. They have classmates, they have friends, they have teachers that don't know Jesus Christ, and they can lead a life that will point people to Jesus. I'm talking teenagers. The same thing with adults. You're at work, where you live, the way you live for Christ will reveal leadership and how others should follow you. Every Sunday, I see that family always getting up and they're always dressed nice and they're always going to church. Why? That can affect the people, your neighbors. That will affect the people that you know. There's something about that. There's something about that family. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, or whatever. They are always in church. Good. You can show leadership in that. But God's authority. And we're going to read that in a little bit, but how Paul's submission to God and the leadership in Jerusalem. I mean, God's authority runs downstream. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go sideways. It goes from the top down. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord," that word ministered means that they worshiped, they glorified, they serviced, they did some active things. And as we minister, that's why it's important that we come to church. You know that when you greet and you get to meet new people at church and you get to connect with people, you're ministering to the Lord when you do that. Because you are actively reaching out and connecting with other people, and the love of God is being demonstrated in that. That's one of the many reasons why we ought to be in church. I'll be looking for you Sunday night. Tonight, 6 p.m., Shannon will be speaking, so I want to encourage you to come for that. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted," if you don't like fasting, there it is. We got to fast every now and then. Say, separate ourselves from the bonbons or whatever and say, "God, I'm just hungry for your word, more of your word today. I'm more hungry for what you have for me, God, than anything else." So, ministered to the Lord and fasted. Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. Just underline that. So being sent out by Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So it's Paul's submission to the leadership in Jerusalem and their authority doesn't mean that he lives and dies for the leadership. But Paul's complete surrender and commitment is to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere that Paul went as he planted churches, there was leadership. There was somebody that was going to be there. They had to find elders, and from the elders, administer to the congregation. Again, from the authority from God flows downstream. God has placed a leadership and authority for Saul, whose later his name changed to Paul, to submit to. This shows unity and brings God glory. Consider your home. Consider your home. The authority's got to come from God, and it flows down. And whenever the children
try to, you know, they get those, you know, moments where they think it goes up. Parents, that's your opportunity to go ahead and say, oh, no. It flows down. The authority flows down. You got to understand, honor your mother and your father. The instructions we give you, it's not to rule over you, but it's to protect you, to lead you in the right way. So that's very important. But think about that. It shows unity. And God is, and God, and it brings God the glory. Slide 3 real quick, please. Joe, thank you. Ephesians 6:5. I found this on Google. It says, employees, obey your earthly employers. Ephesians 6:5-8, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, don't be men pleasers, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you will know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Why do you think God will reward them? Because it brings him glory. It brings him glory. Even if you know. Well, let me not say that. Lord, forgive me. All right. So this is why it brings him glory. Now let's continue in that same chapter. Drop down to verse 6. Acts chapter 13. It says, now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Barsabbas, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So this guy wanted to know about God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. He didn't want Barnabas and Saul to talk to Sergius Paulus. So this guy Elymas came in and wanted to separate and kind of cause confusion. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? That'd be pretty cool if you can memorize that. And anybody that tries to come between you and doing what God's wanting you to do, you go ahead and tell them that. Right? That'd be really weird. Verse 11. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what he had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now remember when Saul had that close encounter with the Lord Jesus on that day that he couldn't see, did Jesus tell him, you're going to have the power and the ability to cause people not to see? Did he tell him that? No. Again, as we begin on empty and we start on our journey, God will use us in situations. Now, maybe you may not confront somebody with such a, I wouldn't say a curse, but with such a word like this and cause someone to be blinded because they're interfering with what God is doing. Maybe that's not going to happen, but God will use you and allow you to speak things into people's life that will get their attention, check them, correct them, encourage them, and lead them into truth. And God might use you for that. And so, let's see, where am I at? Verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw where he had been, what he had been doing, what he had done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants to emphasize something here. There will be people in your life that will stop you from doing what God wants you to do. It might be close relatives, it might be friends, old friends, or it might be just be perfect strangers. That's why I said you have to hold on with a death grip, the calling that God has on your life. This guy, Elymas, didn't cause Saul to be fearful and afraid and shy and, oh, yeah, that's right. I shouldn't. Yeah. OK. I mean, no, he didn't back down. He knew what the calling was that God had on his life to go tell the Gentiles, to go tell people about Jesus. And again, I wanted to just mention, it says that they sent them. So people prayed over Barnabas and Saul and sent them. They were sent. It's important to have leadership agree and pray you out. The blessing of the Lord for ministry is vital. That's why whenever people come, and it's sad that when the Whitakers and the Wareheims actually leave, that's why we bring them up here.
not to embarrass them, not to make fun of them or just, you know, to waste time. But we want to bless them and pray over them. And as God sends them to the next, you know, location, that God's blessings upon them. And it's important to understand that. It wasn't the fact that Barnabas and Saul couldn't go without them sending, but Barnabas and Saul, it would be important for them to be sent by the leadership and pray over them. That's important. Verses 42, I just want to drop down. It says, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So Barnabas and Saul were like, hey, you want to stick around for the next Sabbath service? Yeah, hey, they want to hear what we got to say. So they stuck around. The congregation had broken up because many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath service, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Everybody was excited. They wanted to hear. Listen, people, whether you believe it or not, people want to hear the truth. People want to hear what's spiritual. People want to hear what is true. And we got it. So we need to be bold and be able to say, God, I am going to do what you're calling me to do. And I will tell and I will share Jesus. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. They were jealous. Man, we couldn't get this big crowd. Hey, look at these guys come into town. They got the whole city over here. They got jealous. They got filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Here's another opportunity when opposition comes. Let's find out what Paul and Barnabas do. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentile. He didn't forget. That you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had appointed to eternal life believed. There will come opposition. Hold tightly to the calling. Third point is focus on those who listen and receive and apply. Pray for the rest. Pray for the rest. The rest would be those that don't want to hear it. Those that oppose, those that reject what you have to say. Willing to stick around for another Sabbath service, they were eager to tell those that really wanted to hear. You know what? Focus on them and pray for the rest. You might be at work and people might know who you are. And every time you begin to share what God has done in your life, a little testimony, it's like you turn the lights on and roaches just, you know, that ever happened to anybody? Turn the lights on? Happened to us in Okinawa. When it was kind of fun. You mind if I share the story, Shannon? We'd have the key in the keyhole, key ready, right? And one of us would have a shoe in the hand, so the person would open the door, turn the light on, and we would run into our little Okinawan apartment, and then just start if we saw any, you know. And so, that was the apartment that we lived in. So it was just us two, so we didn't care. But we'd open the door up. Open it up, turn the light on, and the other person would run in with, you know, shoes in hand to see, you know, who, you know, what, how many we're going to kill. But that might happen to you. I got this on video too. That might happen to you. Talking about roaches on Sunday morning. But that might happen where you have something to say and God wants you to say something. And the moment that you begin to say it, people just scatter. You know what? Don't lose heart. Death grip on that calling. God, you called me to do this, and I'm going to do it. Pray for the rest. Focus on those that will stick around. Focus on those that will listen, that receive and apply. Seek to disciple them. And this is what Saul, when we continue to look in Saul's journeys, he was willing and seeking those that will listen and apply and receive and disciple them. Seek to disciple people, whether you have thousands, hundreds, or just one listening to you. How do I disciple, Pastor? Encourage them to do what you are vitally wanting to do. Desire to know God intimately. Encourage them to do that. Encourage those that what else can you do for those that don't want to listen but pray? What else can you do for those that reject you and refuse you and make fun of you and cause opposition? Just pray for them. Because of the gospel, your calling will discover those who refuse and refute what you have to say. Stay the course. Keep the call close to your heart. It's a priority for you to fulfill. Lastly, I just want to share in Acts chapter 13, verse 50 through 52, because it came evident wherever he went to proclaim the good news, there was opposition. Acts 13:50 says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women of the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium." They just went to another town. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Acts 14, we're not going to have time again. There's a lot of things to cover. But Acts 14, I just want to share. It discusses one of my favorite passages. Because all that we're reading, it's not just cool stories. These are real life enactments of what happened in a believer's life that if we hold true, it'll encourage us as we live for God. You see, there are some people that would believe that what we read, it was only for just that time. It has no effect for us here today. That's not true. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful and is alive, and it affects our lives today. It'll direct us on how we are to live. So the challenges that Saul faced, we might good and well face them also. But what did he do? He held on true to what God says. And what is God saying to you? Hold on true. I believe that the same spirit that filled Saul is the same spirit that fills me and gives me revelation and gives me boldness and teaches me and directs me and comforts me. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's not different. It's not outdated. Thank God, Holy Spirit doesn't have an expiration date. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be in us forever. So these scriptures should convict us, should comfort us, should challenge us. Why? Because it is real. God's word. If it's truly real, you ready? Then how are we living our lives to prove that it's real? How are we living our lives to prove that this is real? This sermon series isn't a series to catch our attention that says, wow, that Paul, Apostle Paul, he sure was a heck of a teacher. He sure was a great evangelist. That's not what the focus is. What did he do? What did God do through him? What are we doing? Do we have a call? Are we actively listening for the call of God? And are we holding on to with death grip as a priority of God's call on our lives? And how much of myself am I willing to empty and say, God, fill me. God, here I am. God, I want to begin with you on empty. Acts 14 reveals Paul's compassion. Joe, you just put up slide 4, please. Godly leadership has godly authority, not to flaunt it, but to glorify God with the leadership that it models. This is why Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ, as a certain version might put it. You see that the bottom part where it says leader, that's what Paul was doing. Putting his life on the line just to go ahead and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet he still submitted to the leadership and the authority of the believers in Jerusalem. But yet he still held on to his calling, not to flaunt it, but to glorify God with the leadership that it models. Unity within the church brings joy to everyone. It's contagious. It reveals that God's people is doing ministry together. And this is what God wants us to do. Do ministry together. This is what will glorify God. Seek to know the calling that God has on your life, because God wants to call you. God is calling you. Pray for confirmation. There's not wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. He's not going to slap you upside the head because you're asking God, God, can you confirm this? I think this is what you want me to do, but God, I'm praying for confirmation. Embrace the calling, and at the same time, embrace the leadership and its authority. Father, we come to you. Joe, go ahead and get ready to play that video. Father, we just come to you and we thank you. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that people would find themselves If they have not emptied themselves to you, God, they would do so today. God, if they don't have the calling, they don't know what it is, they will call upon you and say, God, I want to know what it is. I want to prepare myself right now, God, and I want to begin this journey with you. As this altar call is, as a video is being played, I just want to encourage you. Just begin to talk with God. Holy Spirit is revealing things to people right now. Respond to what the Spirit is saying. Whoever has an ear, the Spirit is speaking to you. Respond what the Spirit is saying.